We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V.E. Howard.
Ladies and gentlemen, today we begin a series of discussions on the subject, the false religion of astrology. It shall be my purpose in these lessons to discuss the occult movement that is gaining much headway in our world today, and especially our Western civilization. The occult refers to that which is hidden, mysterious, supernatural in its claims, and etc. Mr. Webster defines the word occult as pertaining to, concerning with, designating magic, astrology, and other arts and practices involving the use of divination, incantations, magical formulas, and etc. Beyond the scope of understanding, mysterious, so says Mr. Webster. He defines occultism as occult theory or practice, belief in hidden or mysterious powers and the possibility of human control of them. Mr. Webster makes it crystal clear that the occult includes the whole scope of astrology. We shall plan to deal with the astrology as a modern revival of the religion of the solar system. What is wrong with astrology? And so on. Then, we shall plan to discuss the number of factors involved in the occult movement. These lessons are very vital, and we urge you to invite your friends and neighbors to hear them. May I point out to you in the beginning that this discussion does not relate to the legitimate scientific astronomy. There is a wide difference in true astronomy and mystic occult of astrology. Astrology is basically a religion of the stars. In fact, this is the very origin of the term. Quite literally, the term is derived from two Greek words, astro, which means star, and logos, which means word, reason, or logic. Hence, the term has reference to the word, reason, or logic of the stars. One is only to observe the undue emphasis that is placed upon it and the ascending adoration that is given this system to see that it has become a revived religion among millions of our time. Listen to a short biographical sketch that is frequently given about people in the news, and if they are young people especially. In all probability, one will hear what zodiac sign that person was born under. Many people in our country today can tell you what zodiac sign they were born under just as quickly as the day, the month, and the year in which they were born. A few years ago, only a few newspapers carried daily or weekly horoscopes. Now over 60% of the newspapers in our country carry them on a regular basis. A newspaper in the southwest of our nation some time ago omitted the astrological forecast of the evening edition. Within 1 hour after this edition hit the streets for distribution, angered subscribers besieged the editor with calls of protest. Some insisted that they were at a total loss in planning the next day's activities if they did not have the daily horoscope. Some are so addicted to this system that they will not leave their homes in the morning without consulting the horoscope to see what the stars have in mind for them for the remainder of the day. Some time ago, it was revealed that some babysitters in California would not agree to keep a child until they knew the zodiac sign of the child. A newspaper in the southern town carried both a regular article of a religious nature from a gospel preacher and a horoscope. One day, the religious article was missing. The preacher called the editor and asked him why it had been omitted. The editor's answer went something like this: "Preacher, if I leave out your article, you're the only one who calls to know why. If I leave out the horoscope, I'm literally swamped with calls from irate subscribers." Does anybody deny that astrology has become a big-time religion in our time? My friends, listen carefully to this claim recently made on behalf of astrology. I quote from Carl Payne Tovey's This Week in Astrology, date of March 5, 1972. Quote, New York Board of Education President Robinson states, "I've been able through astrology to just about peg people and know how they'll act just by their birth signs, and I've been able to tell their birth signs just by the way they act." He adds that astrology can, quote, "solve classroom problems," end the quotation. Such secular reasoning as this is hardly worthy of an educational leader. It is kin to the evolutionists of our day, who say that they can tell the age of rocks by the fossils embodied therein, and they can tell the age of the fossils by the rocks. Such statements are hardly worthy of a generation that prides itself in truly scientific reasoning. While this nation was engaged in the conflict of Southeast Asia, a young man suggested that whether he returned safely from Vietnam or not was determined by the position of the stars or the turn of the cards. What a delusion. My friends, may I assure you that we're not talking about astronomy, which is a legitimate area of scientific studies. Astrology, as I use the term in these studies, is not a synonym for astronomy. Astrology is a religion of the solar system, whereas astronomy is a study of the solar system. One can be a Christian and be an astronomer, but I ask you, how could one be a devotee of the principles of astrology and practice New Testament Christianity? Mr. Webster defines the two terms of astrology and astronomy in language that clearly reveal the difference. Webster says that astrology is, and I quote, "pseudoscience which treats of the influences of the stars upon human affairs, or of foretelling terrestrial events by their position and aspects, the divination of the supposed influences of the stars upon human affairs and terrestrial events by their position and aspects." Webster defines astronomy as the science which treats of the celestial bodies, their magnitudes, motions, constitution, etc., a treatise on this science. This universal authority recognizes the clear difference between the two words. He says that astrology is a pseudoscience, and he defines pseudo as sham, feign, spurious. He also recognized the religious aspects of astrology by classifying it as divination. Astrology was a frequent and dangerous threat to Jehovah's people thousands of years ago. The worship of Baal, which is so frequently mentioned in the Bible, toward which the Israelites lean so heavily at times, is believed by a number of Bible students to have been directed to a sun god. Isaiah gave a stern warning to his astrological contemporaries, saying, "Stand now with thine enchantments, and with the multitude of thy sorcerers, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth, if so be thou shalt be able to profit, if so be thou mayest prevail. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers and the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators, stand up and save thee from the things thou shalt come upon thee. Behold, they shall be as stubble, the fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. It shall not be a coal to warm at, nor a fire to sit before." Isaiah 47, verses 12 through 14. By astrologers, Isaiah meant the viewers of the heavens. By the monthly prognosticators, the 8th century prophet of Judah referred to those, and I quote, "that give knowledge concerning the months." Great afflictions lay in the future of these people. Isaiah challenges the advocates of astrology to defend Judah against her enemies. He likens them to stubble that would be burned with ease. They were totally impotent to deliver anybody from anything. The advocates of astrology would not be able to deliver themselves. Surely, they would be entirely too weak to deliver any of the naive who listened to their astrological nonsense. Such counselors were without value or profit. Astrology is truly of the occult movement. It has all the characteristics of the system. It is an exceedingly old system of idolatrous trust. Daniel and his three Hebrew companions in Babylonian exile frequently came in contact with the astrologers of that period. Yet, the students of the stars in Daniel's day could not look up at the position of the heavenly bodies and interpret the Babylonian monarch's dream of the metallic image recorded in Daniel 2. They could not tell the king what his dreams were about, as recorded in Daniel 4. They could not inform Belshazzar what the handwriting on the wall spelled out for him, and his kingdom revealed in Daniel 5. It required a revelation from God to Daniel to interpret the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar regarding the metallic image and the great tree which each signified. It required the services of the inspired Daniel to tell the perplexed and fearful Belshazzar what the handwriting on the wall meant for him and his drunken companions. Jehovah God was not making His will known in the 6th century Babylonia by the extending of the revelation to the stargazers. Ladies and gentlemen, are you listening? It is more than a passing interest to observe the sharp contrast which inspiration draws between Daniel and the three Hebrew holy children and the students of the stars and the heavenly bodies of those days. The Bible says in Daniel 1:17-20, "Now as these four youths, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams." And he continues, "And in every matter of wisdom and understanding concerning which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were in all his realm." End the quotation. Even earlier, the great Hebrew prophets had spoken out against the astrologer and his idolatrous system that frequently afflicted the people of God. Amos fearlessly spoke against this paganistic idolatry of the astrology of his day, as recorded in Amos 5, verse 26. The powerful prophet of God declared, "Yea, ye have borne the tabernacle of your king and the shrine of your image, the star of your God, which ye made to yourselves." The Old Testament commentator Keel says that the terminology of the expression "star of your God" is the equivalent to "the star which is your God." Seemingly, that is no doubt about the accuracy of this view. Stephen, in his great message of Acts chapter 7, has his eye fixed on this very passage in the prophetic book of Amos. The soon-to-be martyred saint in Jerusalem said, in Acts 7, 42-43, "But God turned and gave them up to serve the host of heaven. As it is written in the book of the prophets, 'Did you offer unto me slain beasts and sacrifices 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? And you took up the tabernacle of Molech, and the star of the god of Rephan, and the figures which you made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon.'" Now, observe that the inspired Stephen associated their worship with the star. He affirms they worshiped the figures which they had made. He says they served the host of heaven. The commentator H. Leo Bowles says, in regard to the star of the god of Rephan, that this is supposed to be the star Saturn, to which the Egyptians and others gave worship. Israel turned away from Jehovah and turned to these idols. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. Are you listening? I declare that all evidence proved conclusively that astrology is a system of idolatry. Remember, we're not referring to astronomy, which is a legitimate study of the heavenly bodies. My remarks on these studies concerns the teaching of astrology, which is a religion of the stars. It is a revival of ancient idolatry. It is therefore wrong. It cannot be passed off as a passing fad or an innocent pastime activity. It is definitely antagonistic toward the Christian religion. My friends, it is quite proper to test people who claim modern-day prophetic powers. The Apostle John tells us in 1 John 4:1-6, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirit whether they are of God, because many false prophets is included, if you please, are gone out into the world. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He who is not of God heareth us not. By this ye know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." People are not to believe just anything because they said that God said it. There is an acid test in determining if one be a teacher of truth or a peddler of error. Do they speak truth? Are their conclusions based upon divine truth revealed in the Bible? If not, they are false teachers. I submit, my friends, that the horoscope is astrology in action. Mr. Webster says of the horoscope, and I quote, "A diagram or scheme of the 12 houses of heaven showing the relative position of planets and signs of the zodiac by which astrologers profess to foretell the events of a person's life or to answer hoary questions." Now notice, Mr. Webster defines the horoscope as a scheme by which the astrologers profess to foretell the events of a person's life. My friends, I tell you that the kind of prophecies proposed by the horoscope specialists are not a 32nd cousin to the Old Testament and New Testament prophecies. Jehovah's real prophets never did deal with the type of prediction characteristic of the false prophets of astrology. For example, Jehovah's real prophets never gave marital prophetic counsel relative to when one would get a divorce or remarry. They did not pursue the prophetic course of advising people about their financial investments for the future. The great prophet from Nazareth, Jesus, once refused to get involved in a family argument about the family inheritance. The Bible says in Luke 12:13-15, "And one out of the multitude said unto him, Teacher, bid my brother divide the inheritance with me. But he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and keep yourself from all covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." In one of her books, My Life and Prophecies, Jean Dixon identifies herself as a modern prophetess capable of foretelling the events of one's life. On page 154, horoscope specialist gives prophetic advice to Barbara Streisand's marital future and the future of her money investments. Furthermore, she says some things to Frank Sinatra about being careful lest his fortune melt before his very eyes. She says, "Mr. Sinatra is very religious, has devout faith within his soul, but manages to hide it from the public." End of quotation. Also, in this book, the false prophetess deals with the winner of the Kentucky Derby and with the person who is to become the new coach of the Washington Redskins. On page 91 and 94, she tells how she and her husband accompanied friends to a horse race at the Bowie Track in Maryland. She was begged to predict a winner and under pressure finally agreed to do so. She requested the Lord to help her. She claims a voice, which seemed to come from above, told her the winner of the certain race that day would be Summer Sunshine. This horse never had won. Dixon's friend suggested that she place a bet on this horse. This seemed to be a sure way to make quick money. Jean Dixon gave all her money she had with her and requested that it be placed on Summer Sunshine. The horse won. It paid a bet of 20-1. Dixon says she never uses the money of her prophetic powers for selfish purposes. She uses it to help a young boy whom she has aided in college. She concluded that, quote, "God works in mysterious ways his wonders to perform," end quotation. Ladies and gentlemen, are you listening? I emphatically deny that God was working with this cheap gambling episode. Can you conceive for a moment of Jehovah's stooping to participate in cheap gambling? Even though the money may have been used for a good cause, God has never sanctioned doing wrong in order that we might have money to perform the good. I assure you that no Old Testament or New Testament prophet ever engaged in such false religio-humanistic maneuvers. That, my friends, is the false religion of astrology.